And as you're sitting down, do me a favor first, dog leaf, page 7 of your bulletin, keep it open, put your finger in there, grab a pencil, hold on to it. We're going to refer to it later, and when I ask you to join me in reading, you're going to read a part of that text. If you have your Bible today, keep it open to Luke chapter 1 as well. I'm going to ask someone to help me out later on as well. Now, up to this point in the Advent season, we've had a couple couples going through somewhat similar circumstances. And these couples, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, have revealed to us through their character that the character of Advent is one of service and silence and surrender. Well, this morning, one individual from each couple, Mary and Elizabeth, greet each other. Their stories blend together, and we come to realize that the character of Advent is that of support. Now, when I say the character of Advent, I don't mean Advent the season. Right? Some of you are familiar with Tim Allen's The Santa Clause. Remember when he asked to learn, he's not talking about Santa Claus the person, but Santa Claus the clause. Well, I'm not talking about Advent the season, but Advent the continuation. I'm not talking about now that all these on the outside are lit and tomorrow that one in the center gets inflamed and now we're done with support. No, I mean Advent the continuation. Not the celebration of the birth of the babe of Bethlehem. Not the coming of the Prince of Peace. No, I mean the return. The return of the one born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He who rose again on the third day, ascended, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're awaiting his return. His ultimate arrival. His final advent. When following him, all his saints go marching in. You know what I love about that song, All the Saints Go Marching In, is they're only saints at that point. Here and now, the saints are yet sinners. But you know, we're still called to march. There are times our God calls us to take big steps out of our comfort zone, into places unknown, to follow him into ventures where the human mind would say it's impossible. Was there anyone who was called to take a bigger step than Mary? Now, true, she wasn't the first. There were plenty before her. There's Abraham. Abraham was asked to leave his home, go to a completely new land, and there, only on a promise, he was told he would find a land flowing with milk and honey, and he, being a poor candidate for paternity, since he was an old man without any children, would enjoy the blessing of descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. There's Moses. Moses, who's commanded to go to the commander-in-chief of the military power of his age, the ruler of the global superpower at the time, and demand that he let the people go. There's Esther. Esther, who's challenged to reveal her identity, to share her ancestry, putting in jeopardy not only her longevity as queen, but her physical security. But did any of them find a call to step out of a comfort zone? More than Mary. She's a young maiden, a virgin, betrothed, that is true, and it's probably arranged, is the marriage. And yet, she will bear the Lord's own son. And in the end, risk her parents' reputation, her fiancé's honor, and her own upstanding, godly character in the process. And yet, when she submits and the Spirit rests upon her and the Son of God develops inside of her. She teaches us in her story today that hers is one of support. You know, when you think about it, those other individuals, the ones who I mentioned before her, they all kind of had a carrot. You know, Abraham would get a nation, descendants. He would get a start, if you will, a people for God. Moses, he would get to lead the people of God. And Esther, she would get to protect the children for God. Mary, on the other hand, gets communal shaming, societal rejection, and personal pain. Remember the story the old man in the temple told her, right? A sword will pierce your own soul. I don't know if that pain was felt any sharper ever than when the spear pierced the side of the one to whom she gave birth. The one who, although he dwelt ever in the promised land, left his heavenly home so that he might begin a people of God, sons and daughters from every tribe and nation and direction, north, south, east, and west, and as the author of Revelation says, too many to even number. He, though he was the captain of the angel armies of the sky, the sovereign of every solar system, allowed himself to be arrested by a penny-ante king and crucified by an earthly empire that, according to his calendar, would kind of only last a day, for to him, 1,000 years are like one. And though his earthly ancestry was well known, his eternal deity was kind of kept on the down low, was it not? Only shared that information with a few close friends. And it wasn't until he hung dead on the cross that one who had put him there identified who he was. Surely this man, the Son of God. And there in his cross, he protects the children of God from sin, from Satan. He protects us from God's wrath and from ourself. There through the crucified one, yet the one who is risen for us again, we are guided and led into the presence of the God of grace. And we know that we belong to the Lord. And he begins with us a relationship that has no ending. It's time for me to get back to the beginning of our text. So if you're going to turn now to your bulletin, please, where I told you to hold open page 7. Mary had hurried to the city in the mountain region of Judah. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, she felt the baby kick. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will have. I feel blessed that the mother of my Lord is coming to visit me. As soon as I heard your greeting, I felt the baby jump for joy." Will you read with me? "You are blessed for believing that the Lord would be keeping his promise." Now, after this, Mary sings an incredible song, and this episode in Scripture ends with verse 56. If you were one who brought your Bible today, would you read verse 56 out loud? Go ahead, the first person, just belt it out. Thank you very much. If you didn't quite hear that, thanks for, I can't say who to thank. A bunch of you read. That's awesome. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And you thought your relatives were sticking around long for the holidays, huh? 3 months. You know, there are certain times a year where that would cover Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's, and Easter. It wasn't just for the home cooking. It was for the support. Mary finds support from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, her cousin, the wife of Zechariah. You remember his story. We've gone through it all these last several weeks. If you haven't been with us, you can listen to those teachings on our podcasts. Now, Mary escapes to the hill country, and I suppose in some small respect, this frees her from the rumor mill. The gossip is surely going around, and since she's no longer in town, it isn't always in her ears. And because social media has not yet been invented, the shaming is not always before her eyes. So in some respects, this allows her an escape. But more importantly, this provides her what she desperately needs. Support. Now, you know how the story goes. The very first thing that happens is Elizabeth recognizes the identity of the baby that Mary is carrying. And she is suddenly moved from trepidation to celebration and sings the most beautiful song ever sung. Elizabeth, her name means "my God is abundant." Elizabeth, for her part, greets Mary in a manner which Mary probably couldn't even have hoped for. Think about Mary for a moment. The Lord God Himself is developing in her womb, but she needs someone to throw their arms around her. She has heard God's voice through the angel, but she needs to talk to someone who knows that God still speaks to His people. And here in her cousin, Elizabeth, she finds God's abundant provision of support. Now, this part of the Bible, this is historical narrative. It actually takes place. This is a story that really happens. Yet I think it's more than just an account of something happening in history. There's a profound, real truth in here for you and for me. And that truth is, when we are asked to take steps out of our comfort zone by God, when we are asked to go in directions that might make us a little bit nervous, when we're asked to trust Him with nothing more than a promise and follow where He calls us to go, even if we're afraid to do so, and whether that happens on an individual level, a familial level, a congregational level, the truth is this. Just because you are in intimate terms with God doesn't mean you don't need the support of people who are on intimate terms with Him as well. Let me say that again. Just because you are in intimate terms with God, Mary is on intimate terms with God. He's growing in her body. Just because you are in intimate terms with God doesn't mean you don't need the support of other people who are on intimate terms with Him as well. Elizabeth is too. Her child is her husband's, but still a child of promise. And when you're going through those things, at least for today, let's call those Mary moments. M-A-R-Y. They might not be happy. Let's call them Mary moments. When the steps are sizable, when the fear is tangible, when the uncertainty is very, very real and it works its way clear down into your bones at those moments. We need God's abundant provision of support. You know, for those who find themselves in a Mary moment, if that's you right now today, you've come to the right place. I said it before, and so I'll say it again. Elizabeth is a real person, and so is Mary. Their story is historical. And yet, Elizabeth is a great analogy for all of us. She represents what the church, not the facility, but the people, she represents what the church is to be. Her husband is a priest. Her son is a prophet extraordinaire to be. She recognizes God in her midst, delights in his presence and offers to house him for the well-being of others. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? You know, I think that's why out of all the banners we have at Bethany and all the seasons, it's that second panel of that banner up there that is my favorite. Can't you feel it? There's Elizabeth, overjoyed to bring one into her arms, delighted to support one at such a time, rejoicing for what God is placing before her in that one going through a Mary moment. And so when you're going through a Mary moment, you've come to the right place. And it doesn't necessarily just mean this facility. I mean God's people. Yeah, this building is fantastic, but it might be across the way at a Bible study. Maybe it's in somebody's living room. Maybe it's at Starbucks. And let me tell you, if you aren't over ever in that part of the campus or ever in anyone else's living room or meeting with a fellow Christian at Starbucks, let me know. Let Pastor Seth know. Let's get you connected somewhere deeper than only right here. When you are in the middle of your Mary moment, turn to the church, the people of God. And there are going to be times in your life where you know someone going through the Mary moment. It might be someone who sleeps under the same roof as you. It might be someone sleeping in the pew with you right now. Yeah, I'm hoping they're not sleeping. Could be the kid who sits at the desk next to you at class. It might be the person sitting next to you in the stationary bike at the gym. The person who's in the cubicle on the other side of the office or the address on the other side of the street. But when your door knocks, proverbially speaking, and it opens up with someone going through the Mary moment, God's abundant provision is as near as you. Let's call those our Elizabeth encounters. When we are the ones called to throw our arms open wide. Speak a word. You know, you don't need to be a Bible scholar to embrace that moment. I have no idea if Elizabeth was or not. I kind of doubt she was. Her husband, a priest. Her son, a prophet. You don't have to have been visited by an angel. Elizabeth wasn't. Her angelic information was vicariously experienced. Her husband told her about his visit. You don't have to have profound great words. In fact, in this text, it's Mary who speaks the memorable ones. All Elizabeth does is, stirred in spirit, throw open her arms and speak that one simple sentence, "You are so blessed because you believe what God has told you." Maybe the sentence you need to speak will be different. Don't worry about it. The Spirit will tell you what to say. We have a text that proclaims that. Maybe it's as simple as, "All I know is that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Of this I am certain, he casts sins as far as east is from west." Always, even through the valley of the shadow of death. It might be heavy, but his yoke and burden is light. Cast your cares on him. I know he cares for you. I don't know the Elizabeth sentence you're going to be called to speak. I just know you're going to be called to speak one. And ultimately, they all say the same thing, and it is this. Our struggles are God-guided, even as our successes are God-given. And we find support to walk through each and every one of those moments together. The Elizabeths around us, God's abundant provision of fellow travelers. Now, those of you who are members of Bethany, if you're visitors, we're very glad you're here today. Come back and join us again, please. If you're a member of Bethany, we're going to kind of go through a little bit of a Mary moment here in a couple weeks. It isn't a bunch of steps. It's about 25. I paced them off earlier. But 2 weeks from today, we start worshiping in the gym. And it might be a little bit out of your comfort zone. It's a gym. And more importantly, it's a lot colder in there than it is in here. Feel free to bring a blanket. And if we're in there into the spring, it's a lot hotter in there than it is in here. Feel free to wear flip-flops and shorts. But remember the reason we're doing that. When we began this renaissance, we said we want to transform not just our property, but each of us individually. We want God to work a renaissance, not just in our facilities, but in our ministry. And we want this place to be warm and inviting because we want to be warm, inviting people. That's why that second panel is my favorite. That's a warm, inviting person embracing the merry moment before them, embracing their opportunity for an Elizabeth encounter. And that's the character of Advent. Not the season, but the awaiting. That's who we're to be until He returns. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we echo the prayer of the church of all time. Come, but until you do, remind us that you come to so many through your people, for we are your abundant provision of support. Strengthen us to be just that, to the glory of your holy name, in which we pray. Amen.